Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And the situation in Afghanistan, where reports are coming out that another U.S. airstrike has taken place. We go to Tom Mikaitis, professor of history, terrorism expert, joining us to give us more information. Tom, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Dean.
So what are you learning about this? What have you heard about this apparent second strike?
Well, I'm certainly not surprised that it actually has occurred. The president made clear that we would be striking with precision weapons, which means you're not going to see, you know, any kind of carpet bombing. You're going to see this taking out of individual targets in ones and twos. So we know that there's the ISIS-K has something of a center of gravity in the province along the border with Pakistan, and that's where they appear to be hitting them. So I think you're going to see more of it. I think you'll actually see it even after the 31st when we're completely out of Afghanistan.
Who would they be targeting once we're completely out of Afghanistan?
Well, they would be targeting the leadership. They would be targeting any kind of facilities that they might have and so on. I think part of this is also strategic messaging, in addition to retaliating for the murder of the American soldiers, that, you know, we're going to hit you, and we're going to hit you from a distance, so you're not going to have the ability to do what you did in Kabul this past week. What I think is really going to happen is you're going to see a struggle between the Taliban and ISIS-K, where ironically the Taliban is going to have to do what we did, which is to say take out essentially, or at least come to terms with this the group that's more extreme than they are.
The early reports that we're hearing coming out of Kabul this morning is that this was a vehicle carrying explosives that was headed toward the airport. Does that line up with information that you've heard on about this?
Yes, it is. And, of course, that was the number one fear they had. That vehicle bombs were a very long-established weapon in terrorist attacks going back to the middle of the 20th century. Well, really, as long as there were vehicles. Striking those from a distance is exactly what you want to do before they can detonate anywhere near American personnel or the people outside the airport.
Now, we are coming down to the wire with regard to the deadline that President Biden set up to have all of the Americans out of there and friends of Americans out of Afghanistan. Does it look likely that we're going to be able to meet that deadline?
I don't think it was ever like, well, we'll meet the deadline. Let me rephrase that. We'll definitely meet the deadline. And I wouldn't be surprised if we leave a little early, because that's another old tactic, you know, set a deadline and rather than let the enemy get prepared to shoot at you as you go out the door, you leave a little bit early. What was never going to be possible is that we would get everybody out. And I think anybody who thought that, you know, we could do that was sort of kidding themselves. And there's a lot of criticism right now saying, oh, well, why didn't we do this evacuation earlier, as people were talking about it back in April? Well, in part because the Ashraf Ghani government was telling us not to. They said, oh, if you start doing that, everyone is going to realize we're losing and our resistance is going to collapse. So, you know, in part, that's what dictated that. So, sadly, not everyone is going to get out. But I think at the end of the day, all we can do is say, did we do the best we possibly could to get as many as possible out?
There have been reports from the past several days now warning Americans to stay away from the airport.
Right.
If Americans are staying away from the airport, how do they get evacuated?
They're probably not going to. But the other question that I wish people would ask is, what are they doing there in the first place? I mean, we heard reports of some of these people visiting family in the country. And don't forget that the State Department has been warning people for well over a month that they need to leave. Americans, please get out of Afghanistan. Don't wait. Some of them did. And, you know, at some point, I don't mean to be unsympathetic to their plight, you have to accept responsibility for your choices. Some of these people didn't even register with the U.S. Embassy to indicate where they actually were going to be and how they could be reached.
I wondered about that myself. You know, why in the world would anybody be going to Afghanistan if they didn't absolutely have to? I wondered if it was contractors, you know, if there was some, you know, greed factor of, you know, people looking to make some money at the last minute here and now suddenly find themselves trapped inside.
That's entirely possible. And the other possibility is aid workers who believe that by giving out aid to people, they're somehow protected, which is a longstanding problem. Anybody who's worked in peacekeeping operations from the military side will tell you, pardon me, one of their biggest challenges is that aid workers don't listen to security advice and yet they expect to be bailed out when they get into trouble. We don't know. This is really speculation. We do know that some of them were visiting relatives and so on. But again, there appears to be some element of choice here. And I think just, you know, that it's unfortunate, but it's not like the United States is completely responsible for every single one of these cases if we can't get to them.
So you think likely in the next few days that we may see more attacks on the U.S., we may see more counterattacks from the U.S.?
I think the counterattacks are virtual, certainly, and I think the attacks are highly likely. But we've seen, you know, there was apparently some sort of a rocket attack that hit a house near the airport as well. And that did not have, you know, didn't reach its target. So, yeah, they're going to keep doing what they can. They've got a target-rich environment. They've got us pinned down. Well, not pinned down. We're holding the perimeter extremely well. But they have us in a single location, which is, you know, makes it a lot easier for them to do. Now, the other thing is, of course, this doesn't make the Taliban look terribly good because they're supposed to be providing some degree of security outside of the perimeter. And clearly, they're not able to do that.
Well, especially considering the fact that they're about to become the targets ISIS-K.
Yeah, that's one of the ironies. And the other great irony is Pakistan has got to have a tiger by the tail as well, because these individuals have been operating to a significant degree, both the Taliban and ISIS-K, over the border in what's called a federally administered tribal area, which is kind of a loosely governed patch of territory along inside Pakistan along the Afghan border. And they've been allowed to operate with impunity and in some cases with the support of the Inter-Services Intelligence Agency of the Pakistani government. And, you know, this may very well come back to bite them because this jihadi war could easily spill onto their own territory.
Tom, we always appreciate your expertise. Thank you for joining us.